At this time, we're going to have Brother Nick Grande come up and preach for us. Just in case some of you don't know, he actually has his hands on many ministries in the church. He's our music director. By the way, the music's a blessing, amen? Everything is just a blessing. He does a great job with that, and I really appreciate him teaching junior high and high school music, which is not an easy subject to teach in school, but he does that with a great spirit. He also teaches in our college. His wife wanted me to mention, he's a wonderful husband. He knows how to cook, play table tennis, all those wonderful things. We're all just jealous of him, amen. But he's a great man of God. Come on up here and preach for us.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Appreciate the special by Patricia. I was looking through some of our sermon videos online, and oftentimes we'll see who sings the solo before whoever preaches, and I remember I saw her just the other day, and you could barely see her over the pulpit. It's a blessing to see her growing into a young lady, and she's a tremendous blessing. Well, I'm thankful for this opportunity. I do feel very young being up here. Pastor Myers, he asked me, I want to say a month ago, to preach, and my initial reaction was, I'm too young. And I remember telling my wife just before, maybe like a couple days before he had asked me, and I told her, you know, if they ask me to preach in front of our church, I'm going to tell them I need to at least wait till I'm 30. And I'm 27, and I'll be honest with you, the topic that we're talking about tonight is something that is a passion of my heart. I think if it's anything else, I would have really pushed not to preach, but the thing that we're talking about tonight is very, very important to me, and I feel very compelled to come up here and talk to us about it. You know, I have a very great respect for this pulpit, and my desire tonight is to reaffirm the principles and truths that have been preached behind here, and I have a very great respect for many of you, and I'm very thankful for many of you, and many of you have encouraged me and helped me, and it is my desire to be a help and an encouragement tonight. I'm very thankful to help out in our music ministry. I'm not the music director. Brother Ross is the music director, but I'm very thankful to help under our pastor and Brother Ross, and I'm very thankful for that opportunity. The purpose of our study tonight is, number one, is to remind us of the importance of music, okay? And this isn't an exhaustive study, meaning this isn't a full-blown study of music. I mean, music. People study music for a lifetime, and we're just going to condense it down just a little bit, so it's not exhaustive in any way. A lot of these principles have been passed down to me, and a lot of these things that I have learned are not original with me. They are things that I've been taught here at our church, taught by people here at our church, taught growing up in a Christian home, taught growing up in church, and I'm truly thankful for those things that I have been taught, and it's my desire just to share those things that I have been taught, so don't think that this is anything original with me, okay? I'm not smart enough to come up with this stuff. The training I received growing up in church, those are the things that I want to share with us tonight. Number two, help us understand the purpose of music in the church. And I believe that is very vital and very important. And like I said, I wouldn't be up here if I didn't believe it was important. And number three, give us some practical applications of how we can get involved in our music ministry. And if you mind, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into our notes in just a moment here. Lord, we love you. Thanks so much for the opportunity, God, that I have to be up here. And Lord, a couple years ago, I never would have imagined this to be possible. And God, I believe it's only by your grace, and I'm so thankful for our church, thankful for this opportunity, thankful for our members. And Lord, I pray that I would be an encouragement, I would be a blessing, God, that I would give direction, and Lord, that I would help us understand the importance of music, though I know many of us already understand that fact. God, give me clarity of speech, clarity of mind, and open our hearts as we look at your word this evening. We love you, Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. In your notes there, we see the importance of music. And like I said, it's not an exhaustive study. There's so much that can be said about music. And I just want to give us a slight picture of why music is so important. We're going to look at it biblically here. Bullet point there underneath number one, God created music for his glory and praise. God created music for his glory and praise. Psalms 33, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, we're familiar with this verse, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp." And now we're going to see a further definition of how we praise the Lord. "Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Okay? We can think of when we are created in Christ, old things are passed away. So when it's talking about a new song, it doesn't necessarily mean all these new songs that are coming out. Okay? We put away the old man. We put on the new man, the new song. Play skillfully. Okay? Skill to be mastered. And I believe music is a skill that ought to be mastered for the honor and pleasing of the Lord. With a loud noise, okay? Powerful, dynamic. I believe our music should be powerful, dynamic, especially in our services. We are told to praise, but also given a further definition. We see that there, okay? Bullet point number two, we see music is communication. And there's so much that could be said about this. But music is communication. Just like all the forms of communication, music has the ability to influence for good or for bad. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Okay, what does the Bible say? People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Okay, we have to know about music. We have to know the power, the influence that music has. Music is communication. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Okay, what is manners? Our form, our method for living. Communication has the ability to influence our minds, and which will influence our belief system and will determine our actions. Okay, just this day, I went to go get lunch, and I see this all the time. You see this all the time. You know, you'll see someone with their earbuds on, they're walking down the crosswalk and they're moving with the music. I'm not going to give you an example, okay? But you see them, that music is in control of their life. It's going into their mind, it's influencing their belief system, and it's influencing their actions. Music has that power. Music has that influence over our life, whether we like it or not. Music has the power to influence our lives. I don't in any way advocate the philosophy or the teachings of these men here for these quotes here, but these men here were men in their time that studied what made a society or a city, what would make it stable. And these quotes here, Plato said, let me make the songs of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws. It's a powerful statement. Let me make the songs of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws. Next quote here, the purpose of music is to stir all the effects meaning passions and desires of men, by nothing but by sounds and their rhythm, and thus outdo the best orator. You know, a lot of times when I go to a different church, or we see churches maybe on the internet, a lot of times we see a disconnect. We hear the preacher, he gets up, and man, he preaches a great message, and it's powerful, and it's mighty, and it's biblical. And a lot of times we'll see the music, and we see a major disconnect between the music style that is in the church and the preaching of the pastor. Because music has the ability to outdo the orator. And I'm thankful for our church. We have been set up in a way where it's not the music that is trying to outdo our pastor, but our music is there to prepare our hearts. And we're going to see in just a moment, and it's aligned with what's being preached here. Okay, and we got to keep it that way. So important. But that ability is there. Okay, we can use music to change things, and we don't want to do that. Medical studies have shown the substantial effects of music on our minds and behavior. I read a book not too long ago talking about how the power of music can influence our minds. And there have been studies that have been clinically proven where they have brought in people that have been that have a mental disorder and have behavioral disorders. And they use music, certain type of instruments, certain type of songs, certain type of music to bring them from that mental disorder to mental order. Okay, because music is so powerful and it's so important for us to understand that. It's not just something, oh, you know, I listen to it because I like the way it sounds. I like what the Bible says, the wisdom of men is foolishness to God. And I love how we can look at what men says, what science says, and it's been there in the Bible all along. And, you know, it's always funny to see how science is always catching up to what God says in his word, and they think it's this tremendous outbreak of like, man, we found this great discovery. It's been in the Bible all along. And, you know, they're just catching up with it. What does the Bible say about music? 1 Samuel 16:23, believe you have it in your handout. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp
and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. David's skilled playing was able to refresh the spirit of Saul. It was able to make him well, and it was able to make the evil spirit to depart from him. Exodus 32, 7 through 8 and 17 through 18, there we see. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly. I've seen a lot of churches turn aside quickly. And I think music has a great part in that. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. Skipping down to verse 17, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but it is the noise of them that sing, do I hear. You know, so much more could be said about the importance of music, but I just hope the things that we shared right now just kind of paint a picture of how important music is. Number two on our outline there, the purpose of music in our church. The purpose of music in our church. I love these verses here. I want to say I read these verses and the Lord really just made this passage jump out to me early last year. I love these verses here. 2 Chronicles 5:12-14, the Bible says, also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one. Okay, a lot could be said about that. When we sing, we ought to be as one. Okay, we'll mention that maybe a little bit more later on. To make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. You know, because the music was so powerful and pleasing to the Lord, he filled his temple with his presence with such a powerful manner that the ministers could not stand to preach. Now, I don't know about you, I've been in some services where the music has been so powerful and so moving in a spiritual way, where it's like, I don't even need preaching. My heart is already sobbed, my heart is ready to just be yielded to the Lord, and oftentimes I still need that preaching, but the music is so powerful and so moving, my heart is ready. And I feel a spirit of revival just listening to the music. And we still need the preaching, but that is the goal that we're going through. A lot of times I'll pray, God, please have your hand, have your touch upon our service, especially the music, because I want our music to touch our hearts. And I believe with all my heart that it can. And we see it here and proved in the passage we just read. It is our desire that our music would be so pleasing to the Lord that his presence would fill our church. He has given us instruction to come into his presence by singing. This is also vital for us to understand. Entering into God's presence is a very holy matter. All throughout the Bible, you'll see whenever someone came into the presence of the Lord or representation of the Lord, what happened? Take off thy shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Okay? They often get knocked to the ground. You know, you go to these churches, and what do they want to do? Put their hands in the air, and it's all about them, and they're all up here, right? No, that's you're not in the presence of the Lord. That's fleshly. When we come into the presence of the Lord, it's a very holy matter. Bible says in Psalms 100, verses 1 through 2, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So important that we get that. Talking about the purpose of our church music, practical applications here. Number one, trying to keep track of time here. I told my wife I was going to try to finish at 7:50. She said, 7:50, that's too early. So, okay, I said 7:55 then. Okay, so I have about 10 minutes here. Our music before service sets the spirit and mood. We on purpose play music here in our auditorium, in our hallways, in our patio. We have my wife or the other pianists. They play a certain type of music because we're trying to set the tone. We're trying to set the mood. Okay, we want a lively service. We want a lively mood. We're going to play lively music. Okay, music in the hall, our prelude. Number two, our congregational singing is a time for all of us to glorify the Lord. And really, it's an opportunity for us to sing as one. Okay, and that's so important for us to understand. I've been in churches, you know, they'll put the lyrics up here, and you know, they'll have a worship team. They're all standing 6 feet apart. And I've been in those type of services, and it's very, one, it's kind of uncomfortable. Number two, there's no direction. You know, that's why we have a song leader, one person leading the music, okay? There's not a bunch of people. Glorified karaoke session basically is what it is, okay? You know, there's no direction, okay? Congregational singing is an opportunity for us to sing as one. Our special music is a time of proclamation and not performance. I appreciate what Miss Karina said. We had her in for our high schoolers, and she talked to us a little bit about just music and different things. And I love what she said. She said this. This is her words, and I quote, "The pulpit is so sacred." And, you know, I love how she mentioned, you know, when she comes up here, she often thinks about what she's going to wear. You know, her heart, her spirit. It's a time of proclamation. As she said, it's almost as if we're preaching. Okay, and you know when little kids come up here, and I think we ought to praise them, and it is somewhat of a performance, but for the most part in our services, it's a time for proclaiming truth. It's not necessarily a performance, because if it's a performance, then it's all about me. It's all about the group. You know, listen to my ability. Listen to how I can hit these high notes, these low notes, all this ability that I have. It's not a performance. It's proclaiming truth about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Okay, it's all about the glory of the Lord. It's so important for us to understand and be reminded of that. And I don't think any of us in our church struggle with that. And I'm so thankful for the people that serve in our special music ministry, and they are such a testimony of this. Number four, our music softens and prepares our hearts for the Word of God. Our music softens and prepares our hearts for the Word of God. The Bible says, Psalms 37, verse number 8, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." And I believe if we take this verse in the context, it's actually talking about someone that is going through trials. In this passage, David was going through a hard time in his life. And a lot of times God will use trials to break us, right? But I believe the Bible says we can also humble ourselves before the Lord. Okay, and I believe when we have that opportunity to listen to music, we are giving ourselves that opportunity to soften our hearts so God doesn't have to put us through trials to break our heart so that God can be close to us. I think music gives us that opportunity to soften our heart because God is close to someone that has a soft and broken heart. Number three, okay, moving on. Our involvement in music, okay, give some practical applications here and we will be done. Number one, join the choir or orchestra. Really practical here. How can we get involved in our music in our church? Join the choir or orchestra. Number two, put your children in the teen choir or joy choir. I don't know about you, I love hearing young people sing. I love hearing Patricia sing. I love when Anna, Mark, you know, all these kids, they get up here, they sing. I love when our teen choir sings. I love working with the high schoolers. I love hearing them sing. We've been going through the congregational songs, learning our parts, singing a cappella, and I love it. I record it on my phone, and I'll listen to it. I love hearing our young people sing. And I have such a desire to see them get trained and see them up here and see them sing because they are the next generation. I'm so thankful for our young people. And I hope you put them in there. I hope you get them in teen choir, joy choirs. I think that's good for them. Number three, participate in the congregational singing. Bullet point underneath that, use a songbook. Okay, I believe this is important for us to understand. The songbook is important. The songs in the songbook really holds our heritage as Christians. The songs in the songbooks, it has our notes there. It has the harmony. It has the melody. It has the different parts, okay, so that all of us can sing as one, okay? It has the words there so we can think about the words. It keeps us on track. It contains the direction for pitch and timing. Like I said, when we go to those, when I went to that church that had a worship team and all we had was this right there. I don't know about you, when I sing, if I don't know the song, I need the songbook. I need the timing. I need the notes. And that is there for our direction. If we take away the direction, then we really don't know what we're doing. I think Satan's very, very, very keen in taking away direction in our church. And we have to be careful. Let's use a songbook. Let's not use it to prop up the windows and, you know, whatever else, you know. Let's be careful. We paid for those. You paid for those, okay? You invested your money in those. Let's respect those books and let's use them. Carries our heritage, those songs there. Think about the words. Sing with your heart. You know, I'm so encouraged when I come up here and I get to lead the singing, and I'll look out and I see people sing with their heart. Man, it encourages my heart. And I always pray and I ask God, help me to sing with heart tonight. Help me put my heart into it. And I'm so encouraged by looking out and seeing people sing with their heart. And I don't think we struggle with that. Just a reminder for us. Number four, encourage those that sing specials. Encourage those that sing specials. Say amen. You know, I know when I sing up here and people say amen, man, it encourages me. Sometimes, you know, I don't know, you know, the response that I'm getting, you know. And when people shout amen, I love when Brother Ross shouts amen. Brother Ross, sometimes Brother Ross will get on one and he's just shouting amen all the time. You know, it encourages me. Encourage the people that come up here. Say amen. Help them. Encourage them. Tell them if it was a blessing to you. And I'm not saying, you know, come up to me and tell me what, you know, you don't have to do it to me. It's fine. Okay. These other people, tell them it was a blessing to you. I enjoyed Patricia's special. That was a blessing to me. I'm always thankful for our special music. Number five, have your children take music lessons. Really practical. I know these are all kind of miscellaneous, little random, but I think they're good for us. Have your children take music lessons. Have the vision of your children being in our music ministry. As we saw in the passage in 2 Chronicles, we see trumpeters, we see people playing psalteries, we see them playing harps. We can see that as a model of how our church service ought to be. I'm so thankful for our orchestra members. And I would encourage you, man, put your kids, get them taking music lessons. If you're like, Brother Nick, what kind of music instrument should I play? Just look up symphonic instruments, okay? All right? We don't need the electric guitar or, you know, those other instruments, okay? Symphonic instruments, okay? We're going for a symphony orchestra, all right? Okay? Bullet point underneath it, it can give your child a spiritual identity. It can give your child a spiritual identity. We won't elaborate on that, but I believe that can help your child find a spiritual identity. Encourage consistent practice. Very important. If your children are taking lessons, encourage them to take it seriously, to practice consistently. Important for us, especially if we're going to learn how to play skillfully. We need consistent practice. Number six, fill your home with godly music. Fill your home with godly music. I try my best. Always play music in our home. I love listening to music. And I want our home filled with music. And I grew up in a home that was always filled with music. And there's so many songs that are in my heart. I often walk through the hallway. I always have a song in my heart. I'm always whistling. And, you know, I want to have a song in my heart. I want music to be a part of my life. And I would encourage you to play godly music in your home. It'll do so much for you. Doing good on time. Number seven, implement it into your devotions. Implement it into your devotions. You know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've read my Bible, I've prayed, sometimes I go out walking, and God would just put a song in my heart. And, man, that song just works in my heart. Sometimes I'll listen to a song before I do my devotions. It softens my heart. It gets my heart ready. And I would encourage you, implement it into your devotions. A lot of times I'll think about a hymn, and man, it'll just break my heart. And I'll start weeping. I'll think about the goodness of God. I think about, great is thy faithfulness. Man, implement it into your devotions. It'll do so much for you. It helps me tremendously. Number eight, grow musically. Grow musically. Do a topical study on music. So many things we can do. So many studies we can do with music. And I would encourage you, grow yourself. Study. Learn about music. Do a topical study on music, like I said. Saturday, May 4th, we're going to have a song leading and vocal workshop. Okay, so that is your opportunity to maybe grow a little more in music. You don't think you're going to go to that workshop, you can't sing, and then you're coming out of that workshop, and then you're going to be able to sing, okay? You have an opportunity to learn a little bit more about music. That's about 2 months away. We're excited about that. We're planning and working on that. I'm working on that. Excited about that. In conclusion, just want to remind us, what do we talk about tonight? Let us be reminded of the importance of music. May we understand the purpose and importance of music in our church. And number three, we can all involve godly music into our lives. The Bible says in Psalms 40, verse number 3, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." It is my challenge to you that our music is not only pleasing to the Lord, but that it will be a testimony to the lost. And that's what all our theme's about. And this is how it ties into our church, reaching them and teaching them. We're going to reach people. We're going to bring them in here. But I believe if our music isn't dynamic, if our music isn't spiritual, you know, they're going to be turned away. And I think music plays a huge part in our services, and it can help the people that we reach and the people that we teach. And let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray.